Now, this comment, he might as well have said, you need to make a sacrifice to the god of your choice. It would have probably elicited less negative comment than saying you need to use a DC blocker.
Hello, and welcome to the Evie Forums Hi-Fi Podcast for the 3rd of June, 2024 is the year. And joining me on this edition, as always, Hi-Fi editor Ed Selly and Ian Collin. Good afternoon,
Hello,
guys.
Sir.
Hello.
Right, so what are we doing this week or this month on the Hi-Fi Podcast? Well, we are delving into the forums because there was a really good thread in there that got everybody talking, even us. Ian picked up on it for the From the Forums feature. It was featured on the homepage. And that is the 5K system challenge. Can you build a hi-fi for $5,000? Or is it an impossible task? We're going to find out a little bit more as the podcast goes on. And we're also going to speak to Ed about Munich, what he saw over there, how much German sausage he had, and so on. We're going to get into all of those facts a little bit later on. And of course, if you want to watch the podcast, rather than listen to it, so you can see our lovely faces on screen, you can go to the YouTube channel, which is AV Forums Podcast. That's AV Forums Podcast. It's a different channel to the main channel. So AV Forums Podcast, subscribe to that channel. You get every single podcast every Monday when it's live. And of course, you can also get that through your audio only provider, podcast provider. I think we're on all of them. So if we're not, you can let us know in the comments and we'll make sure that we get added to that. And also, if you are enjoying our podcast, if you like what we do here at AV Forums and you think we deserve a wider audience, why not share the podcast to your social channels? If you're on other forums or Facebook groups and that kind of thing, why not share out the podcast and let other people know we exist? And that'd be appreciated. So who are we? Who are AV Forums? We're one of the largest AV and hi-fi communities on the interweb. We've been around since 2000 and the editorial has existed since 2003. So we're all long in the tooth here. We've been here a long time. I'm Phil Hinton. I'm the editor. I've been here, trapped here for 20 years. I love that, actually. My role, my job is to review and do the podcast and do some videos and other bits and pieces. And taking a nice big swig is Ed. Ed, tell us all about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Yes, I'm the hi-fi editor. I've been a member of the site for over 20 years, which is vaguely alarming, and producing editorial content since 2012. So over 10 years of that as well. I am almost exclusively two-channel these days, as we have dedicated multi-channel operatives in our portfolio. So I look at everything from small-scale portable audio through to gigantic, shiny, and ornate bits of two-channel hi-fi, digital, analog, amplifiers, and loudspeakers. Unlike Phil, I'm not exclusively employed by AV Forums, so you will encounter my name in other places, but AV Forums is a very important part of what I do and the only people that I do a podcast for. So that's what I do, and I hope to continue doing it.
Excellent. And also on the podcast is Ian. Ian, tell us all about yourself.
Yeah, I do most of the news content, the AV Forums website, as well as managing the gaming content as best as I can. I'm trying to keep tabs on that. Obviously, the amount of hours you need to put into video games these days means that I don't get quite as much time to be able to do it professionally, but I save the spare time for that, so I still get to play a lot of games where I can. But yeah, you'll see reviews going up on the site done by a few of our writers as well, and obviously day-to-day, all the news that drops, I'll stay on top of that as best as I can, while also doing, you know, whatever else needs to come along, such big TV roundup features which are ongoing and in the pipeline.
Excellent.
And more to come.
Good stuff. Right. What can you win? We've got lots of competitions that run on AV Forums. So why not head over to avforums.com/competitions where you can win a whole load of DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K discs and so on. And we normally have hardware competitions there as well. We just don't happen to have one this week. But keep checking that page because they do turn up and we've had some great prizes. Some previous winners, and this tells you how good the prizes are normally. Jay Rowe won a set of KEF LSX 2 LT wireless hi-fi speakers. They were worth £899. And RGB123 won a pair of brand new Q-Acoustics M40 speakers worth £749, courtesy of Peter Tyson. So like I say, avforums.com, that's important, /competitions, and go and see what you can win there. We've got some new patrons. Maybe Ed can tell us about those.
Oh, lucky me. Hang on a moment. I just moved away from that. Yes, we do. We have got patrons Leon Rod, Donard Leonard, Psy32, Tariq Lurenko, have all joined on the monthly subscription. We've also introduced an annual membership, and we want to thank the following supporters who have signed up for the year. So, Gary Heather, Sebastian Corfanti, Andrew Carana Luff, Dave Chamberlain, David McRoberts, David Oliver, Dr. Neil, and Pervaz Fredrickson. So thank you very much to you guys for committing to the long term. I mean, this speaks to a level of optimism that I can admire, frankly, in a human being.
It's putting the pressure on Ed that we need to produce a good podcast.
Well, yes, it does. I mean, I don't perform well under pressure, but, you know, I like the sentiment. And additionally, George Van and someone, and I'm not being facetious here, it's just username someone, has bought us a coffee. So thank you very much to all of you for your different forms of support. It is important. Phil will explain why it's important, but it is always appreciated.
It is. And thank you very much for your support, guys. It really is appreciated. It helps us produce more editorial, more podcasts, more videos, and just give a little bit more back to you guys who are supporting us. So thank you very much for that. If you have any questions regarding the podcast, any of the subjects that we cover, because we're not live, we will take your questions and answer them in the next podcast. So very quickly, we got some Q&A feedback from the last Hi-Fi podcast, which was the 6th of May. That edition was the best speakers for Hi-Fi, choosing a stand mount or bookshelf. And from that, Lloyd92 says, do I have any intention of buying speakers anytime soon? No. Is Hi-Fi my main interest under the broader AV umbrella? Also, no. Did I thoroughly enjoy listening to this conversation? Would happily listen for another hour? Absolutely, yes. Fantastic podcast as usual, guys. Much appreciated. And much appreciated, Lloyd, that you support the podcast and that you listen and that you felt that you needed to comment there. Your comments are always great. It's always great to read some positivity and some of the feedback as well. We always take it on board. And then from the main YouTube thread, maybe Ian wants to do the first one here.
Person called Marcus Maximus 909 got in touch to say, funnily enough, I've just bought 3 bookshelf speakers. Seems like he's bought some Bouchard S400 Mark II speakers as part of an upgrade.
Nice,
excellent, good stuff. And Ed, do you want to do the other one?
Master Blaster 2555. No, just 3 5s. Good podcast. Stand mounts also seem to image better, or at least provide this illusion, than floor standards. Yes, there is definitely something in this, especially in smaller rooms and near to midfield listening. Also, they usually sound cleaner. I think separating the high resonance low frequencies from the more delicate and refined mid-range and treble zoned tones by dedicated enclosures a lot helps with this. Yes, this is also true. I mean, obviously, Boas and Wilkins is going to be dancing in the aisles to statements like that. That's why they've gone to all the effort of tweeter on top and things like that. Furthermore, I can highly recommend the use of a high-pass filter on stand-mount speakers. The mid-bass becomes cleaner and headroom larger. But you'll need a crossover to realise this, so it's not for everyone, I guess. Yes, there is mileage in this. I'm a bit of a traditionalist on this. I have to say, it's like mapping cars. You can do your own maps and things like this. On occasions, there are reasons why manufacturers ended up doing what they did, which may or may not become apparent over the longer time that you use the product. But if you have the scope to tweak and you can tweak without risking any harm coming to the speaker, yeah, get tweaking, get experimenting, get EQing and see what you can do. And this is going to feed very much into the second half of the conversation we're going to have on this podcast about the construction of 5 grand systems, because there is a whole world of extra layers that this thread revealed that we're going to have to pick our way through.
Yep. Okay, well, you know, thank you very much for your comments. You are taking the time to write these comments and send them in. It's only right that we read them out. And thank you very much for that. And of course, if you've got any questions, you want to pick our brains on anything, whether it's AV, hi-fi, gaming, whatever, then you can do that one or two ways. You can do the old-fashioned email to podcast@avforums.com, or you can go to the forums and find this thread in the podcast forum, and you can ask your question there. Or you can go to the comments below if you're watching on YouTube and put your comments and questions there. Our producer, Andy, he collates all of these. He puts them together. He shoves them up on the running order for us every month so we can then answer your questions. So you doing that is appreciated. And hopefully we've answered some of those questions for you. Right. So on to the main subjects of the podcast this week. Ed was in Munich. Been to Germany a couple of times already this year, Ed, myself. Mm. Haven't been to Munich, haven't been to the high-end show. I think it's something I need to do.
I would agree, yes. That,
yeah, I keep saying this every year, never do, but maybe next year is the year to do it.
Well, it must be said that this year I was there for a day and a half, and it felt really that I was only just pelting round like a fat idiot. I mean, I could do that pretty well anyway, but yeah, it's enormous. Comfortably the largest hi-fi show in the Western Hemisphere. It's possible that there's something going on in the Far East which is larger still, but it's become a global get together. It's largely replaced CES in an audio sense, and having completely sewn up two channel, it was making more of an effort this year to get multi-channel and portable audio through the door as well. So there was something for everyone there, and I do genuinely mean that. In the halls, you had little booths full of affordable components, or even on occasions, very much like CES of old Phil, you had people selling bits to turn into affordable components as well. And then in the upper atriums, there were at least three pairs of loudspeakers for which you would get to no change from £500,000. And I think at least one of them went the full seven figures. The high end was out in force. There is a show report on the site if you haven't yet checked it out. It covers the things that I thought were broadly speaking relevant to, vaguely terrestrial members of the human race. High end wise, I didn't actually, because time was tight, I didn't spend an enormous amount of time on the high end. It is of only, if you like, adjacent relevance to what we do on AV forums. And whilst it's, always good to point and gawp at, something that costs more than most houses, it's one you've seen, one you've seen most of them. What did stand out for me this year, beyond specific products, I'll cover one or two details in a minute, but the affordable end of the market is in rude health. There were some genuinely interesting stuff, and you can take me to the cleaners on this one. I define affordable as under a grand. Stuff under a grand, there was some genuinely interesting stuff. And companies like Wim and others are hell bent on pushing the defined limits of what you can expect an affordable device to do, especially in the context of streaming.
I've got to say, these products this past year have been phenomenal. Like Ever Solos, like you say, the Wim stuff. If you're looking to get into two channel, and start building a system, or just adding it, some of the latest streaming functionality and so on into your system, there's some fantastic products out there
Yes.
that don't cost a fortune.
No, absolutely. And we'll be touching on this in a bit. So that's brilliant news. And at the other end of things, the high end is doing very nicely for itself as well. There's some cool stuff breaking cover. My concern is that it was structurally apparent that the path by which one goes from these affordable components to these not so affordable components is not in such rude health. Now, there are structural reasons for this. If you build a digital wonder box like Wim and Eversolo do to make something that is definably better, not just shinier and comes in a bigger box, definably better, it is extremely expensive to do it. So forget, linear scaling. To do better than state-of-the-art £1,000 digital requires you probably to spend £10,000 to £15,000. And there's no real point doing in much in the way of interim stops between that. And this is, it's less dramatically emphasized across other categories. It then falls away. I mean, turntables and analog and mechanical items are, they are more, they're more linear in what they do, but it's not it's not the sort of easy defined path that it was when I sort of got into this. And it means that turning a small percentage of people who buy affordable two-channel audio into the next generation of high-end customers is not going to be particularly easy. And I don't necessarily have the immediate answers on how that's going to be done. Now, to forestall a comment which I can see forming in someone's head as they listen to me say this, when I say the high-end customers of tomorrow, I do not mean when I say this that the existing high-end companies of today have a God-given right to exist, because they don't. I'm not, asking for them to be defended or protected. If they cannot square this particular circle, that's not our problem for them to solve. However, when I think back to the Bristol show, and we went there with one of the items that featured in the show report, there was a Harbeth DSP controlled active speaker system. It is exactly what people on the forum are telling me that the future of hi-fi should be: a tremendously clever, flexible, adaptive, perfectly EQable device. And that's absolutely what people tell me that next generation of hi-fi is going to look like. But it is nevertheless still 70 grand. And you're going to need interim steps to get people from affordable DSP-based systems to that system. They aren't going to make one single step. So I don't think we've completely solved this yet. And I'm a bit concerned that Munich sort of highlighted that in an absolute and unavoidable way.
Anybody under the age of 35 there, Ed?
Yes. Yes, there were.
That's good.
And not there because their parents were dragging them around either. No, there's definitely, I wouldn't go so far as to say that what we do is cool. We're perilously close to model railways in terms of high fashion.
And is that not cool, Ed?
No, I'll be honest with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I admire the dedication that people put in, but I don't believe that anyone sets out to do model railways because it's cool, or at least they want to be seen as cool by other
people.
And
if you're talking about money, I was at Locomotion 2 weeks ago, which is the museum down here. Hornby stand there, £300 for
yeah. Oh no. It makes me feel better about what we do. But nevertheless, there were people there considerably younger than me, paying an interest in things. And I have no doubt that the systems that these people are assembling look different to the systems that I am assembling. And again, we're going to talk about this. But nevertheless, Munich has answers for the future as well as, you know, playing host to the present. I just, at the moment, don't necessarily know how progression in audio is going to pan out over the next 10 to 15 years, because in the show report there are a number of items in the sort of, you know, £4,000 to £6,000 price point, because it's some of the things that we deal with on the forum, but there weren't that many of them. And we've got all this to work out, not least because certain aspects, as I say, turntables, loudspeakers, they do definable progression across multiple price points. It's just that other items don't necessarily do that in the same way, which creates weird sort of lopsided systems. But, you know, it will out. The market always corrects and every, you know, nothing sort of just stands still. I just don't necessarily know how it's going to sort itself. Nevertheless, there were some cool things. IAG brought a company's worth of stuff with them. New Quad Electrostatics, new Audio Lab Pre-Power, which sounded exceptionally good, and new affordable Mission Electronics. We tested the 778 amplifier last year, and it was bloody excellent, so I have very high hopes for those. Musical Fidelity brought an entire company's worth of stuff with them. I'm not joking. I had a quick tour of the stand with the UK distributor, and there were certain items we got to, and he goes, yeah, I wasn't expecting that to come. I didn't know it existed, and it's the first time I've seen it as well. So, that was an interesting exercise. But some more new Vista components, a new phono stage, which looked very covetable indeed, new affordable B series components to go into the market along with the A1. They were nice and busy. I've lost my train of thought completely as to other things that were there.
I'm sure Ian can help you out, because I think...
Well, he did. I should also, I'm obligated, before Ian kicks in, to point out that I was there with the kind assistance of Q Acoustics, and they were one of the people with a genuinely affordable product. So the 3000 Cs, they use the same basic cone arrangement as the 5000 series that we've tested. They did a demonstration of the floor stander at £900, and I have no difficulty saying that I was in a number of rooms over the show where speakers cost an order of magnitude more than that, and they were having a significantly harder time of it than those Q Acoustics were. So it sort of cements the sentiment that there's some unbelievable affordable stuff in the market. But yes, as I say, there was lots and lots of other things, and there is a show report on the site as well. But Ian may be able to remind me of other things that I apparently saw.
I'm trying to think, I'm quickly like checking like the list of news stories that I did as a reminder. But it was one of those things where with Munich, it's one of the weird things about like the hype, and it's the same with the AV market in general, is that there's a lot of people kind of announcing things almost on the day, and it's like, oh, this is now out. Whereas like I'm used to working in video games where people leak stuff 6 months before the announcement's made, 2 years before the games comes out. So you got a lot of time to come to kind of prep for it. So it was a lot of kind of rushing through a lot of stories. There's a lot of things kind of going on. I mean, I think some of the things I cover, just checking some the focal headphones.
Yes, we've got those coming, by the way.
One of the more, not strictly hi-fi, but the Steinway Model S soundbar system seemed like quite an interesting stretch for those guys.
Yeah, defining that as a soundbar is in itself
Yeah,
quite
but
a stretch. It's vast. I however big you think it looks in the photos, it looks bigger than that. It's an absolute whopper.
it does come across more as like a hi-fi system for your TV rather than a soundbar. So I'm trying to think about this. Fine Audio kind of seemed to bridge opinion on the in the forums. They sound like they're decent speakers, but not many people particularly like the look of them, the classic gold
Yes.
speakers that came out. And I think what else? Some Arkham Radius
Oh,
streamers.
yes. So Arkham's new integrateds. We'll be looking at least one
Yeah,
of
this looks
those.
interesting.
Yes. Well, if you remember quite a while ago now, we did the SA30, which was streaming on board, Dirac capable. It was an early example of this. And obviously now that sounds less radical because we've seen it a couple of times since. But this is the spirit, these are the amps that are the spiritual successor to the SA30. So they are completely on board streaming. They're all in one systems in all but name. Class G amplification, Dirac, the new Radia casework, which like the Fine Audios, divides opinion in different ways. It's not retro, but many people, it seems, do not want a yellow stripe on the side of their amplifier. So, but kudos to Arkham for trying something a bit different. And yes, that they the irony is, I didn't physically see those. The photo that's in the news report was supplied to me by Arkham's long-suffering PR because, thanks to the wonders of Brexit, a number of companies didn't receive their products in time. They simply were trapped in customs hell, and the poor souls at Neat didn't have a product at all. So the speaker that I was supposed to see didn't turn up at all, which is unfortunate. Although it is going to the Northeast Audio Show this weekend, and the other one, of course, in terms of just I would like it, but I'm not necessarily willing to part with either selling my son or a kidney. Verter have decided that, obviously the stuff I've got isn't quite shiny enough. So new tone arm at a brisk £13,500 and a new phono stage at £16,000. So they did sound extremely good. I just need to work out the mechanics by which I might secure them. So, there obviously Munich, you sort of develop a price blindness. Someone will be explaining something to you and they'll go, oh, it's €40,000. And you go, ah, that seems perfectly reasonable. So it sort of breaks your perception of reality, but it's well worth a visit. So I did shoot some bits of video, full confession time, and I haven't actually sent them to Phil yet because he's been busy, I've been busy, and so on and so forth. And it wasn't very satisfactory. If we're going to do Munich video, I probably need to be out there for longer, and it's possible that I need someone else to hold the camera. So we'll work out if that is actually
That
something that someone wants to see, and
might
we
be an
can work it out
excuse
for
for
them.
us, if an excuse for us both to go next year,
Yeah,
then
we'll see if we
maybe.
can work something out. But yes, that's all good. So yeah, that was Munich. If you've got any questions, or did I see X or did I see Y, just fire it into the comments thread, and I'll try and get back to you with an
I'm
answer.
glad you said selling a kidney to afford that stuff and not starting an OnlyFans. That's good.
No, I'm
Great, great.
resigned to the fact that unfortunately I think my market pull in that area is limited. So I think it's going to be organ or child sales. So or drugs. So whatever works really. But yes, that was it. I mean, as I say, if you get the opportunity to go, it has a number of advantages. Munich is a damn sight easier to get to from the UK than Las Vegas ever was. Munich is a splendid place to spend an evening. I mean, obviously, there's all the whole beer and sausage jokes, but actually, Munich has got some fabulous restaurants from a multitude of cuisines. And whilst the beer is excellent, they are perfectly au fait. If they're very slow at making cocktails, but they'll do you anything you like. So, it's well worth a visit. And the MOC, there is no finer venue for demonstrating audio equipment en masse. Now, this is not to say it sounds amazing because it's made out of glass and it's heavily reflective and so on and so forth. But as a venue for demonstrating lots and lots of audio equipment, I have never encountered another location as good as the MOC is. I'll give you the absolute there. So it's well worth doing at least once.
How do okay. how do they balance it with so many companies all trying to blast out demos at the same time? It must be like walking through just a cacophony of noises.
Well, it is and it isn't. The downstairs halls, most people aren't making much or anything in the way of noise. And if they do, they put like the sound booths on their stand and so on and so forth. And then in the individual rooms, I mean, it's, as I say, it's made largely out of concrete. There is bleed through from room to room, especially with Trinov. We're doing an AV demonstration that I didn't go anywhere near because it was deafening at about 8 meters and I had no desire to be in that room whatsoever. Well, you can mark that up to cowardice if you like, but you know,
self-preservation.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, there was audio bleed through, but it wasn't catastrophic. As I say, it works far better than you'd give it credit for, and it's a nice place to walk around. It's a nice place to get to. And then on the other side of the road you've got Motor World, where a couple of people were exhibiting. But Motor World is like, essentially, it's a mix of car dealers, shops, and it's got this glass garage in the middle. Now if you yeah. own an interesting car, you can just leave your car in the glass garage for a very reasonable fee, so long as you don't mind people looking at it. You know, it's very pleasant. So
there's some absolute one-offs in that place. Ed, I've seen many videos. I've yet to go and visit, but it's definitely on the bucket list.
No, it was a diverting 40 minutes. And actually, I shot quite a bit of video in there, so I'll get that sent over to you. So yes, have that. It's well worth doing. If you wanted okay. my encapsulated summary of the high end show, well worth doing.
Okay. So if we haven't got a high end budget, let's just say we've got $5,000 to spend or less. But we want to go and build a system. This was a thread on the forums. It was started by member Quota One. I don't know when this was started, but Ian picked up on this. So maybe just fill us in on the thread, why it drew your attention in, Ian. And obviously we created an editorial to go with it. And then we'll both come in on this.
Yeah, I mean, generally one of the things that I do as part of my day-to-day is just produced from the forums post that you mentioned earlier on for the newsletter. So it's a case of just looking for the forum threads that are either A, raise an interesting question, B, get a lot of sort of interesting replies and don't just descend into sort of, you know, arguments and he said, she said kind of stuff. and this one ticks a lot of boxes because, you know, it did. It's one of those, it's a common question that you find a lot. So you kind of worry about it kind of repeating some old threads that have been quoted before. But yeah, it does. It raised an interesting question. It set a budget. And, you know, it's one of those that starts to generate interesting responses. And, you know, everybody was kind of coming up with their own ideas and people were kind of saying, because, you know, from a relative outsider's point of view, I was also interested by the aspects that people targeted in on, you know, because obviously when you're setting up a hi-fi system, there's a lot of varying components that could go into it. And it was just interesting to see how people put an emphasis on different components or maybe bringing together different elements, like would be talked about earlier on, later on, perhaps, you know, people wanted to introduce vinyl into it, people wanted to introduce headphones into it, all of which kind of affects how you'd spend your budget and what elements you'd want to buy. So it's just one of those things. It just makes an interesting discussion whether A, you don't know much about hi-fi and you're new to it. It just offers a really good introduction to some great places to get started. And if you are bang up with the latest hi-fi gear, you know, Ed states expert, know everything there is to know about it. It still throws up some interesting combinations that, you know, just interesting to see what other people are doing or would do if they had that kind of money to spend.
And I guess what we've all pulled from this, having had a quick scan through this thread and looked at some of the choices, is choice. There's a hell of a choice of products, no matter which way you want to go, Ed. And I guess some of that is then what causes the confusion, because you have so many good components. Yes. How do you choose?
Well, this is why I wanted to do a podcast on this. We've been talking in a couple of previous hi-fi podcasts about assembling hi-fi systems. And broadly speaking, you know, I felt that we were covering a lot of the bases. It doesn't take many pages of what is now a fairly long, and it must be said, it did. Ian's right. It started unusually focused for a forum thread. I'm not singling out AV forums here. Forum threads across think of a subject, and sooner or later they'll degenerate into a petty squabble between two members and someone else who completely misses the point, and just other tangents will be thrown up. I mean, there's a massive detour on streaming halfway through it. But at the core of it, what made it so interesting was simply, as Ian touched on, the different priorities that people are placing on equipment and how they wish to crack the particular nut of dealing with delivering the sound and functionality that they're after. So by way of example, Code One, the man who started the man, sorry, I'm assuming their gender, the user that started the thread said, get a pair of KEF LS60 loudspeakers, place them correctly, plug each one in using an iFi DC block. Now, this comment, he might as well have said, you need to make a sacrifice to the god of your choice. It would have probably elicited less negative comment than saying you need to use a DC blocker. Get the room acoustics right, five, start streaming, bonus round, try Tidal's 360 reality audio. And that comes in at a whisker. It, depending on where you're shopping for your LS60s, they're right. It just about comes in at about £5,000. A bit less if you don't want to use the DC blockers, which I can assure you from the rest of the forum comments, nobody else does. So that's where we started. And there is a lot of people participating in the forum for whom smart loudspeakers with some form of correction, be it Dirac or bespoke EQ, that's the alpha and omega of what they're looking to do. Now, I'll touch on my thoughts on that in a bit because that's separate. But there's a huge sort of level of enthusiasm for this. And I'm going to be having to look, I'm just going to have to look at more of these things because it is seemingly where a huge amount of interest is. So a number of comments went through in that sort of area. But before too long, the more conventional hi-fi people decided that, you know, they wanted to participate in this too. Gibbsy, who has been tirelessly moderating areas of AV forums for a long, long time and has still not yet lost complete control of his sanity, said, my music listening now revolves around headphones and I'll struggle to put together a system for under 5,000, but just a tad over. So it's interesting to state, you assume that £5,000 is a lot of money, and it is, but there's plenty of people saying I can't do what I want to do for £5,000, which is possibly a comment even with affordable hi-fi about where the market is at the moment. If I want to go down the streaming route, then Marantz SA30N would be high on the list. So that's actually quite a clever solution in this regard because it gives you disc spinning at the front, including SACD, and network audio at the back. So it's a one-stop shop. Lehman linear headphone amplifier and Meze Empyrean 2 headphones. Now, they are seriously high-end. Actually, wouldn't necessarily be my choice for the seriously high-end, but there's, as we've touched on with some of the reviews that we've done over the last few years, you have an enormous amount of choice in this regard. Then Shane from AV.com, one of our forum sponsors, he decided Dali Rubicon 2 bookshelves, Tayac UD505X, Topping Pre90 preamplifier, Eversolo power amplifier, Havana XL. Oh, he actually listed cables. That's brave. But yes, he did that as well. That came in just under 5,000. So that's more conventional, but digital fronted, operates exclusively in the digital domain. And there was backwards and forwards. And what was interesting is the number of people saying, I can't go with that. It has no room EQ. And we'll come back to this. And I'd like Phil's thoughts on this because he uses room EQ rather more than I do. Because, you know, I felt that it was worth chipping in. The one thing that wasn't specified in the rules and was ignored quite rightly by some people, the idea was to choose from components that were new. So I went with that. What I didn't know is, do I already have the music I have already? So assuming that I have a room full of records, I would be unable to choose a system that didn't play them. It would be pointless. So I went with a Rager Planar 6, Gold Note Vasari Gold cartridge, Rager LX Mark IV amplifier, a Wim Mini. So I spent a princely £90 on my digital front end, and that's connected to the Rager via optical cable. Neat Petite Classic speakers and Mission Stanset stands, so they're not on the floor. And I weighed that as coming in at £4,992. I might need to cut some electrical flex for speaker cable if a dealer wasn't prepared to give me some for free if I'd spent £4,992 with them. So that was my input. And I need to be clear that if the rules were actually, you know, you don't have a room for the records, my the system I choose would look completely different to that. I wouldn't, I probably
okay,
going
well,
back to,
your final's gone. What system do you go for then?
I'd have to tally it up exactly, but I'd be tempted to go Eversolo DMPA6 streamer, the one that went bananas on the thread, so the cheaper of the two Eversolos, Musical Fidelity A1, and I believe that gives me enough money to go for a pair of Neat Elites instead of the Petites, and I'd be as happy as the proverbial pig with that. Okay. That would be probably how I'd do it if I wasn't then looking to spend thousands and thousands of pounds accruing a record collection. So now, Phil, I turn the floor over to you. I asked you to consider a shower thought how you might do this. So I'd like to know what you'd do.
And this is where I got stuck, Ed, because I want vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
But am I going to play much vinyl? Probably not. But I definitely want to have my Technics turntable there, just even if it's just, you know, for show. And I've got a long history with that, and that's why I want it there. I consider it a piece of furniture, not just a record player. Probably for speakers, this is where I would struggle, because there's so many out there to choose from. I mean, obviously you listen to these a lot more than I do.
Mm.
In terms of two channel and so on, you know, multi channel. I've kind of got the brands where I know them inside out because I've listened to them so often. You're probably the same with hi-fi. You listen
yes.
to so many of these things. With hi-fi, I'm coming in more of you know what? I haven't actually dipped my toe in this area for a while. There's some speakers that I do know. Do I go floor standing or do I go stand mount? See, I'd probably go stand mount.
Mm-hmm.
And drive mid and high frequency there, and I would probably add a subwoofer,
yeah,
which I know is frowned upon in your
no
circle.
no there were plenty of people adding
I would
subwoofers
look for something musical and to fill in the bottom end, and that would be my, because that's always the way I've done it. I've always, you know, mid and high frequencies off and they're handled by one amplifier and then separate off, you know, have your crossover, have your bottom end handled by a speaker that's designed to do that. That would be my approach. Probably an Eversolo, again, A6 in there as a digital source and so on. And I think I'd be happy at that. The only thing I would specify is that with me, I'd have to have HDMI eARC. Because if it's going to be a system in my room. The other thing is, I used to be a very big advocate for room EQ. I probably wouldn't use it as much as I have in the past. I would probably look at room solutions because there are so many fantastic solutions now in terms of decor and in terms of absorption and dispersion and so on, that I would look at that before relying too much on the EQ side of things. I still think EQ has a big part to play in a lot of rooms and a lot of systems, but I think tackling the room first would be, so I don't know. I don't know where I would be in terms of the $4,000-$5,000 budget. I'm kind of scattering all over the place because
I think I've just been tallying up in this in my head. I think if you were able to go for a 1200 Mark 7 instead of the GR2, if you could tolerate dropping down to Mark 7, that frees up a fair bit of budget. So with that and the Eversolo together, that's about 1450. Audio Lab 7000A, I don't know if it's EARC, it's definitely got ARC, so that would give you that connection. It's got the phono stage as well, so moving magnet cartridge, Audio-Technica VM95ML, 150 quid. What you could then do, speakers-wise, Mission 700, that's quite a big banger. And with the stands, it's 1,300 quid. You'd be at the top of the budget there. You might have to wait on subwoofers until some sort of change in the rules. But equally, the 700 is not exactly short of low end. So you might find that you could muddle through on that. Yeah. That would get you what you wanted, broadly speaking, and it would be quite interesting.
It's
and
hard to do this 5,000. Yeah. You think $5,000's a lot of money, and you
it doesn't,
and you think, no. Well, that's my budget gone already, I'm only three components in.
Yes. So that's what half it is. And it's what I genuinely find what you said about DSP interesting there. I think we have people coming on saying, I can't imagine a situation without us creating a system without DSP. And I think that's a fair assessment. If you look at my recent review of the NAD M66, you can see screenshots of the measured response of the Boas 702S3 signature in room. And it's not flat. It's not ruler flat. There's a node at 40 hertz, which I've known about for donkey's years. And the Boas isn't ruler flat across the full frequency response. Ironically, for people saying, oh, Boas and Wilkins is outstandingly bright, there's actually a dip in room, but it's not significant. But nevertheless, the NAD corrected it as part of Dirac. Those two speakers are, largely speaking, correctly placed in a room which is not excessively treated, but relatively well-behaved and made out of solid surfaces. Spending a significant sum of money EQing it on a limited budget, or choosing items because they're EQed on a relatively limited budget, is not a significantly worthwhile use of your resources. If you're in a space which is nowhere near as benign, yes, it makes a difference. But I think a number of people commenting on the thread need us to take a step back, that there are people using the forums who are in spaces which simply do not require the level of brute force processing that perhaps they're accustomed to in order to actually deliver a relatively flat response in room at the listening position. So your mileage on this is definitely, definitely going to vary. Something else that was, I'm doing the user that pointed this out a disservice because I can't wade back through mid-podcast the 15 pages, but someone pointed out as well, if this system is not a snapshot in time, but is in fact something that you build from, if you've gone all in on your Smart Wonder speakers, the next time you choose to improve that system, you are selling the vast majority of it at a loss because everything depreciates to make a wholesale change. There's no incremental advancement on a single main component system. You have to chop it in and you have to go again. We touched on this in a previous podcast. If you've broken up source amplification and speakers, your upgrades can be done in a more staggered sense. And contentiously, I'm also going to say that those products, at the moment at least, tend to command better resale values when they do. So there's also an argument that if you do break system roles and responsibility up over more components, it gives you more flexibility in the future, and it potentially means that the cost of getting more out of it is better managed as well. But I know full well that some people listening to this are going to vigorously disagree with that assertion because it doesn't give them what they want in the first place. And this touches on the sheer breadth of option available to you at £5,000. The thread has been enormously instructive to me, as I say, in terms of what I need to be looking at for the next calendar year. And I've already made a couple of detailed changes, and I'm off to France on Monday to go and have a look at something which may or may not fit the bill perfectly. But yes, it's been extremely interesting to watch it unfold, generally speaking, in a civil and good-natured way. So it's a reminder of the sheer breadth of accrued experience and knowledge that this forum has on it, and what is available in terms of user knowledge. If you ask an honest question, you will get a lot of answers. Not all the answers will be as good as others, but there will be a lot of information there, and a lot of it will be extremely interesting.
As
kind of a follow-up question, as somebody, as a relative newcomer to the market, I would imagine that there'll be people who may be, you know, we've mentioned a lot of products so far, but there might be people who are maybe don't know about what specific components they might be looking for. So if I didn't have £5,000, if I didn't have any kit, putting aside the TV and the gaming stuff that I do to kind of stay on topic a little bit, so what kind of components should a newcomer be looking for £5,000? Obviously, you want speakers, but then would you need an amplifier in there? Would you need a subwoofer? Would you need? I mean, obviously, it depends on what you want, but what are the kind of the key first steps that you'd want to be spending that £5,000 on?
This is the most astonishing thing, Ian. I can't tell you what because there are now multiple first steps. You could take anything from using your PS5 as a media center via a television and selecting a pair of smart active loudspeakers that have HDMI EARC, and that's it. You're done. You don't technically need anything else. That is a perfectly valid way of making a hi-fi system in 2024. Equally, you could ignore any of your existing equipment and streaming options. We touched on a couple of them. They go from £90 on a Wim Mini, which looks like a hot, which is the shape and size of an ice hockey puck, all the way through within this budget to devices like Eversolo and Cambridge Audio. They're making some excellent streamers at this sort of price point, where they're fundamentally doing the same thing, but they're doing it a bit better. And that gives you a bit more flexibility in how you access your content. Just to really throw a complete spanner in the works, I don't want to give too much away on this because it's an interesting one. I'm testing a product from a company where we've looked at products before, and what they make are portable audio players. And you think, well, what bloody market is left for those things? What's actually turned up is only, in the loosest possible sense, a portable audio player. It's fundamentally the basis of a modern hi-fi system as well. And it would look completely different to any other hi-fi system that was being discussed in that thread, but it would still work and probably work exceptionally well. So, yeah, if you are genuinely all at sea, start by reading the thread. The thread will be linked to in the comments section. And just start looking at the different options. Because it may be, if you are starting with a clean sheet of paper in an empty room, that your starting point is in that thread, and it's a starting point that you hadn't even considered. That's the scope of where we are with modern two channel in 2024. Yeah. It's why I wanted to devote a complete podcast to it, because it completely and utterly threw me about where we are. Because not only were things being talked about in that thread domestic, there's pro audio components creeping in as well, which start to put a different spin on things. You may find the aesthetics on some of them challenging, but equally, a number of people simply don't care. It's not a consideration for them. And it doesn't matter how small the space is, how difficult the space is, whether it needs to come with you every 3 months because you're living a sort of transient contractor lifestyle or things like that. What that thread revealed more than anything else is that there is an option that would work for anybody, and the ideas are lurking within that thread. Yeah. And I just wanted more than anything else to flag it up, get people looking at it. If you have thoughts of your own, get into the thread, go and make your thoughts and ideas known. Don't drop them in. Unusually, don't put them just in the podcast thing. Go and participate in that, yeah, because that thread has more to give. It genuinely does. And I was astonished at what it covered.
And that's the power of the forums. That's the beauty of the forums. And like I'd said, I mean, there's so much crossover as well now. It used to be traditional AV, traditional hi-fi. Never the two should mix, really, in terms of components and so on. Nowadays, like you've just explained to Ian, you can buy all these different types of products where you can tie all your different interests into one system, and it's hi-fi at the end of the day. There's plenty of choice. And I very briefly had a read through the thread, and I was like bamboozled with, well, actually I could do away with this component and use this other component, that and a couple of powered speakers and a source, and away I go. You don't need all the separates and all the rest of it. But then if you go that route, how do you upgrade and so on? So yeah, go read the thread. Go have a look at all the different options that are open to you. And then be honest with yourself. Say to yourself, what is it that I'm actually looking for?
Yeah.
And how do I achieve that, having read the thread and read the different opinions and so on? There is a solution for everybody out there. So yeah, very interesting stuff. But I guess that kind of wraps everything up for...
It does, except for one last drum.
Go on then.
Going to beat... because we've discussed this before, but now we've done all of that to discuss it again. Having looked at the thread and got your ideas together, before you simply whip your credit card out and start shopping, go and listen to some of it. For the love of all things, no great idea survives first contact with reality, and this is no exception. However good and alluring some of the ideas might be, just get a listen before you spend a lot of your hard-earned money. Yeah. It will save you thousands of pounds in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. The best bit of advice today was just that. And there's some great dealers out there. Mm. For a long time, the market was in the doldrums. We didn't have that many demo facilities and so on. But it's coming back. You know, dealerships are coming back. Demo facilities are coming back. There's some great dealers out there. So like Ed says, go have a listen. Right. Yeah. Are we done now? Have you said your
I
piece?
Think so. Yeah.
Okay, good. Right. So that's it for the Hi-Fi podcast this week, this month. My thanks to Ed and Ian. Our next episode will be the TV display and calibration edition, which will be on Monday, the 10th of June. And don't forget, all these podcasts are available on a Monday at 7 p.m. on the AV Forums podcast YouTube channel first. And then they will be available via the podcast providers as an audio-only version as well. We should be on all of them. If we're not, let us know and we'll make sure that that does happen. And like I say, every Monday, you'll get a podcast from me. If you have enjoyed the podcast, then please do share it out there. Go share it on your social channels and so on. Let people know that we exist. And if you do like what we do, then you can also buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AV Forums, and you can do all the usual cliched social stuff like click the bell and like and subscribe and all the rest of it. I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for watching and listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.